1 Timothy chapter 6. We talk about Father's Day. It's an important day, and Satan from the beginning has tried to destroy God's beautiful creation, everything that he created, including mankind that was created in the image of God. And so God created Satan to be strong, to be full of wisdom, to be full of beauty, and eventually he was full of himself. And when he lifted himself up with pride, he began to destroy God's creation. And he's tried to destroy society from the beginning. And the best way to destroy society is by destroying the relationships in the home, starting with dad. It's no wonder in America, fathers have become a shortage simply because dads have gone AWOL. And so fathers have left their families, left their homes, left their children unmanned, and they have deserted their position as the head of the home, which is an all-important job. And so some radical psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and women's movement stuff have labeled fathers as being outdated and unnecessary. And some fathers have put fatherhood on autopilot and just thinking mom's going to raise the kids and they'll turn out all right. And dad needs to do their role. Yet nearly every study, every research that has been done points to this. The fact that in a home, a good godly father in the home is vital and imperative to the future success of the children. And you wish to have a better society, then we need to have better homes. And if that's going to happen, then dad, you need to be in the home. And you ought to know how to act while you're there. On top of that, we need good godly father figures to leave legacies behind. Thank you, Tom, for your father's legacy. These things are left behind for so many people to follow. And we have biblical examples for this. Matter of fact, David in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, is talking to his son Solomon. And he said, as the time of the King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son, saying, I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God. Follow all of his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all that you do and wherever you go. We want to remind fathers today that their role is vitally important. We want to respect and give dignity to that role because fathers play an extremely important role in the family, in our nation, in our churches. Matter of fact, we need good godly men to step up and serve. Amen? The world measures men differently than God does. And if we're going to make an impact on our society and the next generation, then we need to pursue the things that God measures men by. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our study. Pastor Matt, would you open in a word of prayer, please, and we'll get into 1 Timothy.
Lord, we know it's an epidemic. And yep. Lord, it's not because of the mom and dad. Lord, they are their individual person. But Lord, may that mom or that dad this morning not be discouraged.
That's right.
That they keep praying for them. And Lord, that they hold fast to the right, Lord, and that they will someday see their son or daughter come back to know you as Savior. Lord, we thank you for blessing our church abundantly. Lord, you are a good, good father this morning. There is no doubt in that. And God, we thank you for everything.
Amen. Thank you. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, Paul says this, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so even though Paul is talking to Timothy, who is a pastor of a church, these spiritual leadership principles, they still apply to dads as well. And I want to give you some this morning. Matter of fact, let's just get into it. Number one, we need dads to be good, godly men. We need dads to be men of God. Amen? In A Godly Man's Portrait by Thomas Watson, he discovered that the Bible had a lot to say about godly men. He found out that godly men were a man of knowledge. They were a man moved by faith. They were a man fired up by God's love. A man like God, who serves God and not men. A man who prizes Jesus Christ. A man who loves the Word of God. A man of humility. A man of prayer. A man of sincerity. A patient man. A thankful man. A man who loves the saints. A man who does not indulge himself in sin. A man who does good in his relationships. And a man who strives to be an instrument in making others godly. Amen? What great principles of good godly men. It's important to understand that the men who are child of God, the believers, once you place your faith and trust in God, God has designed you, O man of God. Whether you're in the pulpit or you're not, every father is preaching with his life as well as his words. Don't let the enemy hinder that. There was a parable that was given by a Haitian pastor, and he said that this gentleman in Haiti wanted to sell his home, and he had it up for sale for $2,000. And this other Haitian man, he wanted to buy it, but he didn't have that much. And so what he did is he went through, and they haggled on the price, and they went after it. And after a bunch of bargaining, the gentleman finally agreed to sell his home for $1,000. But there was one stipulation there. The owner would retain ownership of one extremely large nail that was just above the front door. And so several years had passed, and the original owner, he decided he wanted to buy the house back. Well, of course, the owner of the house, he didn't want to sell it to him. And so the original owner went out, and he found a dead, rotting dog carcass. And he hung it on the nail that he still owned. And so it wasn't long before the house became really unlivable, and the family was forced to sell their house back to the original owner. And so the Haitian pastor concluded by saying this: if you leave the devil with just a small peg in your life, he will return to put all of his rotten garbage on it. Amen? If you leave the devil with one small peg in your life, he will return and put all his rotten garbage on it. If the enemy has access to just one little single nail of your life, he's going to exploit it. You got to be careful. Don't give the devil any room to take advantage of you. Don't give him any single place to have any place to roost. Dad, you need to be a man of God. And you need to watch out for the enemy. Father, the enemy is on the prowl. And so if you're going to be a man of God, number two, you need to flee some things. Dad, you need to flee some things. You need to leave, get away from some things. Matter of fact, that word flee there from the Greek comes from the Greek word fugo. And that's where we get our English word fugitive from. It means to escape or to flee. And extra biblical sources, literature, uses the word in relation to someone who is fleeing from snakes or dragons. And you've got to run. You've got to run away from those things. Dad, you're going to need to flee some things as a man of God. And we see too much of this in our culture today. First, you have to flee from immorality. Immorality is running rampant in our society, in our churches, everywhere we go. Sexual immorality is running rampant. It's destroying us. Secondly, Dad, you got to flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14, Paul says, flee idolatry. We got to get away from it. 1 Timothy 6:11, he says that we got to flee covetousness and the love of money. And 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee from youthful lusts. That's still some good advice today. Because what you want to know is that in our generation, I mean, we live in a society that is sensual, idolatrous. It is money-loving. It is a lustful society. And every device the devil can use, he is going to do so to take you away from being a man of God that you should be. You need to flee some things. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you go back a few verses, in verse 6 through 10, Paul says this, but godliness with contentment. Can I tell you something? There's that little word there, with. Godliness with contentment. You've got to be content with where you're at. Amen? We've got too many marriages that are falling apart because men are not content with the women they're with. Hello? It's that word with. Godliness with contentment. Let me tell you, we got fathers that are working their lives away and don't participate in anything in their families. Because there's the love of money that goes along with that. Where are you at in the home, Dad? It's godliness with. Be content with what you have. Amen? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For you didn't bring nothing into the world, and darn sure I'm going to take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing with these things, be content. Be satisfied at some point. At the end of the day, a man of God will never be measured by how many hours he spent at his job, how much money he made, how much possessions that man has. The real value of a man's life will be what he fled from and what he was content with. You'll discover that if you flee some things, if you run from some things as a fugitive, you'll find out that you're going to run to some virtues that are good. You'll discover godliness, contentment, humility, perseverance, and a host of other things that God is going to bless you with. Matter of fact, that comes to number two. Dads, you need to be a man of God. You need to flee some things. And if you're going to flee some things, then you need to follow after some things. Number three, follow after some things. Look back at verse 11, if you're still there in 1 Timothy 6. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. These are things that are going to help dads flee the wrong things. The word that Paul uses here, pursue, it's actually active, present, and future, which means this is something that you're going to continue to do. It's not a one-time thing. Until you have a body that's perfect, that won't sin no more, you need to pursue these things continually. It's a continual action. Never stop pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Make it the goal of your life to achieve these six things. Patience is also steadfastness, and then meekness is also gentleness. And so we need to be pursuing those things. It's hard to get a man who is focused to turn aside from achieving his goal. You ever had somebody who is set on doing something and then try to get them not to do that? Let me tell you something. If you are set on pursuing these six things, it will be so hard for you to be turned aside from achieving that goal. Amen? Dad, you need to be a man of God. That's first and foremost. Secondly, you need to flee some stuff. Thirdly, you need to pursue some things. Number four, Dad, you need to fight the good fight. Look at verse 12. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life with which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That word fight there, it comes from the Greek word agonizomai, and it means agonize. And so if you literally took that from Greek to English, it would mean agonize the agony, the good agony of faith. agonize of the good agony of faith. Paul is telling you that every step of the way, there's going to be a fight. And dads, you need to agonize to contend in that fight. There's enemies that we talk about them. Maybe we don't talk about them enough. Maybe we don't talk about the reality of them. Do you believe there is a Satan? Amen? Do you believe he has his demons? Amen? Do you believe those are real? I do. I know they're real. And I think if God opened our eyes like he did Elijah's servant and what he saw with not only the good angels but all the enemy all around about him, I think we would be very scared. And I believe the spiritual realm which we don't see. How's that go? In which? In with or with which? Is it? The English people are just gone. Just move on, Dan. Just move on. I don't think if we were able to see, I think it would literally put some fear into us to stick closer to the Lord if we saw the spiritual realm that's all around us. If we saw the real demons and the angels that are fighting and contending right around us every second of every day, I think it would put more fear of God in us to pursue those things, to stick close to God so that we could flee from those other things. The enemy, if we saw him, I think would terrify us terribly. But you don't walk away. You don't walk in your life by what you see. You walk by faith. Amen? We walk by confidence in the Lord. And if you have confidence in the Lord, it doesn't matter what you see or don't see, you can walk by faith. And that's the fight we need to fight. That's the walk we need to walk. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 5, he says this, "They shall be like mighty men." Dad, we need to be mighty men fighting the good fight, agonizing in battle, trampling the foe in the mud. You need to stomp a mud hole in the face of the enemy. Amen? Come on now. We need to be like mighty men in the battle, stomping a mud hole in the enemy in the streets. They shall fight. Why? Because the Lord is with us. And if the Lord be with you, who can be against you? Amen? And they shall put to shame the riders on horses. Man, if God is with you and you are pursuing God, success will always come your way. Amen. Dad, don't check out of the fight. We need you in the fight. Our generation needs fighting men now than we ever have before. Stay in the battle. Man your post. Stand your ground. Do what is right. There was an experiment that was done in a 9-foot square cage designed to hold 160 mice. And over a 2.5-year time frame, the colony grew from 8, they started with 8, and 2.5 years later, it was 2,200 mice. And so as the population grew and the researchers began to observe all of their behaviors and their changes and all of those things, the summary was this. The adults formed cliques, about a dozen mice per group. So they all separated into cliques. Even mice has cliques, right? The males, who normally protected their territory, withdrew from their leadership and became uncharacteristically passive. The females became unusually aggressive, and they forced the young ones out. And the whole mouse society became disrupted. After 5 years of the study, all of the mice had died. Even though there was an abundance of food, even though there was an abundance of water, resources, and there was absence of any kind of diseases. And while I know and understand that we're not mice, but here's the thing. There are some similarities in the way the males of the mouse society and the way the human society relate to each other. Because it's just like the male mice, men have a tendency to want to check out. and let the world pass by and let the women take over. Amen? And what happens is, according to a Barna study, it identified some trouble in our churches in America today. Women are twice as likely to be involved in discipleship in the church than men are. Where's the men? Where's the men who want to be godly men and be discipled? Women are 57% more likely to attend Sunday school than men will. 56% of women are more likely to take on a leadership position. You know, more and more women are stepping up to be pastors, leaders, deacons, trustees, and all kinds of other stuff in churches. Do you know why? Because there's no men. There's no men. Where are the men? Dad, you can't be disconnected and isolated from the house and the people of God. You've got to stand and fight the good fight. You've got to take the fight to the enemy. Guess what? That fight is right here because the enemy is bringing the fight here. Dad, there's some things you got to be willing to fight for in this generation. We need to be leading by example. Fight for your own personal identity as a man. Fight the battle for personal holiness. Fight the fight for your family. Fight through the pain of living in this fallen world. Fight for some good, close, godly friends. Fight for strong faith. We need to fight. We're losing the fight because, what's that old axiom? Man, I can't even think of it. It was important too. I just had it. Must not have been. Doggone it. Lord, give it back to me. I thought it was important. Something about losing something and then men don't do anything. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, somebody's got it in their head. Come on, we got to be like-minded. Son of a... I'll have to post that because that's important. Say that again. There it is. That's what I was thinking of. See? A woman had to come up with it. Thanks, Jody. I'm just kidding. That's right. We need more men to step up and do more stuff. We need more men teaching our children in our Sunday school class. We need more men teaching in our junior church. We need more men stepping up and leading in other programs. We need more men in our... Wednesday night programs. We need more men leading church. We need more men to come in and take care of different aspects that we have. We have VBS coming up at the end of July. I need more men to step up and help and set the example. Amen? Well, don't tell me if you do nothing about it, right? Isn't that what she just said? It's going to percent if men don't step up and do anything about it. It'll just continue to go on like it always has. Dads, men, we need more men. Because there's something about a man that absolutely redirects a classroom and young children, and there is a total different dynamic when a man is present. We need more men to step up, guys. We need more men to step up. Let me close with this. Celebrities in our culture today is, man... The American culture, people are obsessed with celebrities. Magazines glamorize them. The public envies them. Celebrities, whether they're movie stars, professional athletes, whether they're billionaires, whoever. Never has America been so obsessed with the celebrity concept than in our society today. People want to be the next Instagram sensation or the next TikTok celebrity or whatever. And to some people, it's life-changing to meet celebrities. I mean, Matt just talked about Tom Crabb. You know Tom Crabb. You know everybody because everybody knows Tom. He's a celebrity in Mansfield. I was talking to a chiropractor that was doing acupuncture and so forth, and I said, yeah, I go, do you know Tom Kraft? And he goes, oh, yeah, everybody knows Tom. I'm like, okay. He sits on another township board, and so I didn't know if he knew Tom, but yeah, he did. He did.
Tom for president.
We need more good godly men to step up in the political realm as well. Listen to what Hilding Haverson, he was a Christian gospel singer. He told of listening to a conversation of his kids out in the backyard. He said that when his son was a little boy and he was playing with his buddies out in the back, and there was a couple of them, and they're doing the old the conversation, the old amusing, my dad's better than your dad thing, you know. And so they were out back, and he just happened to come upon them, and he was listening to their conversation. And the first little kid said something to the effect of this. He goes, my dad knows the mayor. And of course, the second dad was like, ugh, well, that ain't nothing. My dad knows the governor of the state. And this one broke his heart because his son stepped up and said, well, that's nothing. My dad knows God. My dad knows God. We tend to take pride in who we know, don't we? We do. Of all the people you may know, Dad, I pray that God is the first one. And that's the most important relationship you have, is with God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, and by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Dad, we need more godly men to flee some things, to pursue some things, to stand in the gap and fight the good fight. We need more men to step up. Because look, the measure of a godly man, the measure of fatherhood, is not what you get out of it. It's what you put in. What are you putting in? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for... Well, God, thank you for being the greatest example that we have. Even though when our earthly dads fail, even though when society is failing, we still have a great example, and that's you, Father. You're a good, good father. And you have set the example for us to follow. You have given us principles to follow. And God, may we do that. May we follow those principles. May we grow as good, godly servants. Learn from you. Learn from what you have given us. And may we exemplify you to a lost and dying world that doesn't see that. God, we need more men to step up. Be godly men, fighting the good fight, representing you the way that we should. God, you said, who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to close that gap? And he said, I found nobody. And Isaiah said, here I am. Here I am, send me. Father, we need more men to step up and say, here I am, God. I want to lead by example. May we have more of that. Father, as we honor you today by saying thank you, God, you are the best father anyone can have. And may we exemplify you to our children, to our church, and to our society. We love you, God, and we just pray you'd have your way in this invitation. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.